Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea, Edmundo here once again, and it's time for the St. Louis United Soccer Show, coming to you live from the Big Boy Studios at 590 The Fan, and here is your host, Mr. Tom Schwarz.
Thank you, Edmundo. Yes, I am the host, Tom Schwarz, and welcome to an abbreviated show today. We're only going till 1:30. Joined today by Mr. Russell Bly. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm fine, thanks. Hey, how are you?
Asim, the dream.
How's it going?
Oh, it's great. It's good to be in the Big Boy studio. The only guy who's ever had his own theme. And here we are in the big studio. Ted Williams, how are you, sir?
Good, Tom. Good to be here today.
And Josh McGee.
Hey Tom. Good to be back.
Well, I've got something to say.
Hit it.
Here I go.
Take a deep breath.
None of us on this show, none of the people that I have just introduced, can claim to be expert analysts of the beautiful game. But we all watch a lot and listen to a lot of analysis and read probably way too much about the beautiful game. And we are the only folks foolish enough to regularly talk about the sport on radio on a weekly basis over the last 6 years without snickering about it. We all love the game, and that's why we're here whenever we get to be here, which leads to the time issue. We come in when the folks in charge of this ship tell us to come in. Today, that's 1 to 1:30. I have no idea when we'll be on again, but I hope it's soon come on. At this point, I want to thank three guys outside of this crew in here who, through their constant pimping and unrepeatable text messages during these past 6 years, have helped me keep this thing going. Mark Niemeyer, Mark Graham, Rich Bear, a true basket of deplorables who have helped me immeasurably. Now to the sole topic of today's show, the abysmal failure of the USMNT to qualify the World Cup, a.k.a. the Putin Trophy. First of all, any regular listener to this show have heard regularly that if you are ever going to miss a World Cup, this is it. If you aren't aware of what a diabolical tyrant Vlad is, well, then there is little hope for you. Think Berlin Olympics. Second, it's very hard for me to root against teams, countries that is, that are no larger than New York City. Which reminds me of the story from Alex from Milwaukee, who really turned out to be from Kyiv, but I think we'll get to that later. Anyway, his point was, hey, Tom, here you have beautiful homes, you have beautiful cars, the supermarkets are full, everything's great, and in the rest of the world, we have soccer. That's why people are so crazy about it. Third, the big dog who sits right here next to us has a great story when assessing a certain type of woman's self-opinion. She's one of them West County women. She thinks she's a 9, and she's about a 6. Folks, we are not nearly as good in soccer, football, as we think we are. We delude ourselves, I think, by watching, well, nobody here really, but a lot of people want to tell you how great MLS is and how much soccer has progressed. Okay, let's go play Holland, right? They didn't qualify for the World Cup. Let's play them a home and away. How do you think we'd do? Asim the dream.
We'd lose.
Oh, okay. We'd just 2-0, we'd lose?
I mean,
0-2.
You never know over one game, you know, but two legs, come on. They're just so much better than we are.
Yeah, we just aren't that good. We got a current crop. Yes, Russell, you're chomping at the
current
bit.
Netherlands team? I'm not sure. I mean, remember, we did go on to the Europe and beat the Netherlands and Germany on the same road trip not so long ago.
And what were those games?
They weren't competitive games.
They were friendlies. We are very good at friendlies because they don't matter.
We're so friendly.
We couldn't go and beat Costa Rica. Or no, I'm sorry.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Dream, how many people
with
you think...
With Trinidad doing most of the lifting, by the way. Tobago was along for the ride.
Right. They're making their sauce.
They didn't even have their first team. Let's say Germany had a World Cup qualifier against Costa Rica. How far down would they go? I mean, they're send their third team. They
I don't
send
know
their
if they
stars.
Would. Germany and the great countries have this attitude, which is step on their throat. They will just come in and annihilate you.
You know, a lot
and
of,
if they're feeling friendly at 3-0, they'll take off their big stars. Yeah. If they're saying, okay, you know, these guys are, you know, a country of 300,000 people, we'll take off our big stars. Okay. But I mean, you know, 7-0. 7-0 against Brazil a couple years ago.
But to your point, Tom, if we told Germany, hey, you cannot bring your first team, you must use your second team and 13 players, they still might win 4-5-0 against Costa Rica.
Oh, God, you know, they won the Confederation. How many guys have played for Germany in the Confederations Cup? Have you, any of you as regular viewers of soccer at the highest level, including the Bundesliga, how many of those guys have you heard of?
Oh, I mean,
3 or 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they made everyone else look like punks because they played the game so well and everybody was on the same page.
You mean they played as a team?
Yeah, team. That's a good one.
I mean, you know, if our program, you know, was down in the doldrums and we needed someone with experience who would, you know, inject some optimism, you know, turn things around, change the culture, and do it with a 56% winning percentage, you know, I would take that guy as a coach.
Would his first name be Jürgen?
His first name would be Jürgen, and his last name would be Klinsmann.
Well, why did
and he would have a 56% win percentage with the United States as well.
A team that is capable of going to Trinidad and Tobago and losing when all they had to do is draw.
All they had to do is draw, so...
Jozy Altidore could not really make it on a team, the worst team in the Premier League, right?
Jozy couldn't hack it in the Mexican League in Collinsville.
Well, that's a little rough.
I don't know.
I bet you'd dominate.
Eh.
But the point is, they're not very good. Okay, now here's another thing. I mean, I guess what I'm doing is reliving discussions and arguments I've had since this disaster, which I don't really think is a disaster, but you know, I think maybe it's an attempt to rebuild. But it's the whole argument of, does this have anything to do with the fact that our best athletes do not play soccer and they don't live in a soccer culture? And my point is, I refer to Kyrie Irving because at this point I've seen him do more masterful things than... it's not based on size. Like LeBron, I think a lot of the stuff you say, whoa, yeah, but the dude's 6'8". I mean, if you run into him, you're going to bounce off of him. Kyrie Irving is 6'3", something like that, Ted?
6'3", yep.
Yeah, he's not a huge guy, right? He does stuff that is simply incomprehensible on a regular basis, right? So what I ask these people is, say, no, it has nothing to do with our best athletes playing. I say, would Kyrie Irving, having grown up in a football culture where he was surrounded in it, like the entire rest of the world, not just Europe, you know, the best players are probably coming from, you know, much smaller places. From the age since he was born, since he was a gleam in his father's eye, if he would have been exposed to this culture, you're going to tell me that a guy like him couldn't be a pretty good player? And if not him, let's go down the line of the top point guards in the NBA or the wide receivers or the defensive backs in the NFL. We couldn't, not some of those guys wouldn't be as good as the guys from Trinidad and Tobago?
I totally agree. And, you know, part of the reason Kyrie Irving is so great and so mesmerizing is because, you know, that guy grew up playing basketball every day.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
It was,
you know,
his
after
lap.
School, boom, out right. the door with the ball,
right.
down on the courts,
the whole
playing
culture.
All comers.
It's the
and
culture.
The reason that he was discovered was because we have a basketball culture in this country.
Right.
So he had AAU scouts. He had
right.
travel team scouts.
Right.
He had all these people, all this organic culture that's grown
right.
up
right.
to find him. Now, do we have guys that are the soccer equivalents? Probably. Are we looking for them? No. Because a lot of times they tend to be poor and they can't pay and they can't participate in this pay-to-play development system where you got a kid who, you know, let's say he lives nice suburb of St. Louis. He's okay at soccer. He's not that great, but his parents can pay for him to be on the travel team. So he's on the team. Whereas, you know, you got a recent, you know, some of these kids that are, you know, refugees from Africa who might be just as good. But guess what? Mommy and daddy can't pay.
What?
That's got to change. If we want the best players on our national team all the way down from the top to the bottom, that has to change.
So what you're saying, suggesting
pay to play has got to go away.
That worldwide,
it's
the
not
best
how it works.
Players don't come from the middle classes. And somebody will
could.
Well, Kaká did.
They
Kaká
could. They could. Yeah, they could.
The exception proves the rule.
But a large number come from.
Yeah. It's a way out.
Yes. Right. And to this point about what you're talking about and with your stance on the culture thing, with soccer in other countries, they're playing for their livelihoods.
Right.
Where in our country, with sports like football and basketball, they kind of get coddled up from a young age and they never really get out of it. Our sports culture is so much more an entitlement-based type all the way up from when you're a young kid all the way up to professionals. Whereas in these other countries, they're playing for their lives. They're playing for their countries who, even if they lose in these types of friendlies that we talk about, sometimes when countries lose in these friendlies, I mean, fans go berserk and players are in danger.
You don't think that happens in the United States?
No, fans do not demand enough here. And
so you're
part
blaming
of this,
the fans?
Part of this, yes, I am. If you support MLS, if you are an MLS fan and you are not boycotting at this point, it is like giving dope to a heroin addict.
But wait a minute. What about the argument? Russell, you got to be a little more aggressive here because we don't have much time.
No, I'm all over that. I mean, I totally agree about the league. It's its own entity unto itself. It's not responsible to anyone other than itself.
Right.
And it needs to be open. We need to have promotion relegation in order to have true competitive nature amongst the teams.
I disagree with the theme about passion. In this country, there are people that would be physically in danger in the athletic endeavors that people are passionate about here. For example, Texas high school football.
Oh no, absolutely. I didn't say that.
Southeast Conference
football.
I didn't say
that people are in danger. I meant soccer fans.
Exactly.
Specifically MLS fans.
I agree.
I think the case of Texas high school football is exactly to the point where I'm told that they get 30, 40,000 people for big games, right?
They can.
It's the culture. It's Alabama football, right? It's the culture that produces. Go ahead.
Heck, even if you're a cheerleader in Texas, your life is at risk.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like cheerleader in I've met a guy who was a cheerleader in Texas at a Texas high school. He was a big man on campus. He wasn't quite the quarterback, but I mean,
George Bush was a cheerleader.
W.
God, doesn't he look good these days?
McKinney.
Yeah. Jeez.
Don't we? I can't say this, but kind of miss him, don't we?
Oh,
well, McKinney, Texas, I think, just built a $30,000 or 30,000 seat high school stadium. And they're going to fill it on Friday night.
Well, that's
the culture
the point.
Isn't everything great. I mean, you know, their priorities are out of whack, but.
But I think, Russell, what did you say? You had notes, and your notes were.
Culture.
Yeah. And I think this is exactly to the point. Our culture is high school football, high school basketball if you're in Indiana. You know, it's college. You know, I mean, look at Tennessee. God, they put 100,000 people every week in the stands, right? I mean, so if you're a kid growing up, here Taylor Twellman talking about it. You know, the kids got to have heroes. You know, they got to have somebody to look up to that they can relate to. What?
Yeah, soccer is probably tier 7.
Yeah, exactly.
In the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there was much outrage, and we were more aware of it because we followed the game. But I haven't heard anything about it this week other than people talking about possibly unseating Sunil Gulati. There's a lot of banter about that. But in the circles that we follow, either on social media or the channels and the outlets that we read. But until the World Cup arrives next year and people, it hits them in the face, oh yeah, we're not part of it. There's going to be this huge lull.
Because they don't care.
They don't.
There's no culture.
Right.
They
don't.
They can't make culture. Culture comes from within.
Right.
Going back.
That young people are passionate about the sport. We've observed it with the FIFA games and the young people with the jerseys. A guy that's Josh's age, I see a lot of people his age wearing the club jerseys. Okay, people my age are into NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB.
Yeah, but you're a lot older than the rest of
that's
us.
That's true.
Well, maybe not. Well, I don't think, create the culture. The culture, I think over time, although we're
evolving.
It is coming
up.
It's evolving not from the top.
From the bottom.
From the bottom, right.
Age-wise.
But that's going to be
it's gonna take a significant
period of time.
Part of the deal here is we're all so upset, but we have no right to be in the World Cup.
Right.
We've done incredibly well to be in the World Cup so many times in a row. Look at the countries that haven't done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not such a bad thing to be out.
Oh, once. To me,
especially this
I
one.
Think it's good.
Especially this
I think
one.
It's the medicine
it's
we need.
It's a wake-up call.
Yeah. What do you think the chances of a terrorism...
It's important to have your furnace...
Oh, sorry. It is important to have your furnace, because if you don't have your furnace, you are... Well, another
SOL.
Another F word.
Well, you're not getting stoked, you know.
That's part of it.
You're not getting stoked.
There you go.
You know what? As the probably the bottom of the rung here of the fans in the room.
Oh, come on.
Not probably.
Don't sell yourself so
that's
short.
Harsh. I am short.
Shorty.
I remember watching the first professional soccer game I ever saw on TV was 1965. And everybody was saying, well, you know, this is going to be the next big sport. This is going to be the next big sport.
Yeah.
And here we are, what, 50 plus years later, and people are saying it's going to be the next big sport. It's going to be the next big sport. And it's always...
Soon,
you're always betting on the to fill the inside straight, seems to me.
Well, Ty Keogh and Bill McDermott have been in here talking about the same thing. Oh, we have a 10-year plan. We have a 10-year plan. We have a 10-year plan. And those 10-year plans that started... At that period when NASL began?
Right.
Well, maybe it was good.
It keeps going another 10 years. And to Russell's point, we're making progress, but we live in a world where we expect that progress to happen so much quickly, more quickly. And really, to Edmundo's point, we're 50 years in to, quote, soccer arriving in America. And quite frankly, we're still playing catch-up because everybody else's game is elevating as well.
That's the key. It's like with the women, right? Early on, our women dominated because of Title IX and all that stuff.
Exactly.
All that great stuff that you know, equality stuff that went on through the courts and into the schools, et cetera. But that you just described the biggest problem is the growth in the rest of the world. Anywhere, if you got internet, you can, and you're an 8-year-old kid, you can see what Messi did or Ronaldo did over the weekend. You can watch that as kids do 1,000 times, right? You can watch it as much as you want until you learn it. And then you learn it, you know, maybe 1% of the world's kids that do that. And then there's even a smaller percentage of those kids who do that will put their own spin on it. You know,
but the pay-to-play hierarchy doesn't embrace
right
the creativity and the technical play.
They embrace athleticism. They embrace winning way too much.
State cups, regional cups, national cups. Okay, how many players have you developed that are playing professionally? Okay, you've got all these banners.
It's the Robert Espensheed theory about why is you may or may not know. That youth hockey in St. Louis is at an all-time high. We had, five of the top 10 picks in the draft, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Kids are playing all over the United States. Why? Robert is the guy who pointed it out to us. He's also the greatest player ever in basketball. That it's because these great Blues players came and they loved St. Louis and they thought this is a great place, which it is, a great place to raise a family. They raised their families and they became youth coaches. And all of a sudden you had the top world-class athletes teaching the kids. Well, where are our world-class athletes in soccer? There aren't. You know, oh, we can, you know, Christian Pulisic. Well, great.
Pulisic, yeah.
They're great.
And he's the one.
Yeah. Well, he's the one.
He's the one guy.
Case in point.
Well, how long ago was Freddie Adu a phenomenon?
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I can remember him being on Carson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or whoever was hosting at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, quote, technical. Some would say he's a what do you call it? The freestyler, basically.
Yeah. Show pony.
Yeah. So,
well, he played, I
don't know what the right answer is, but the pay-per-play model does not reward playing the game in a technical, creative manner because those coaches are making a living at it.
Yeah.
And it really does their next gig or their next season of running a club depends on success.
Right. It depends on success. And that's down to the parents. If you're a parent and your kid is playing at one of these clubs, these pay-to-play clubs, and you prioritize winning over their development, you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot.
But
that's
what do
it.
You really think?
It's more than just individual technical skill. It's also building intuitive team sense.
Yes,
you do not
get
that out of a regimented coaching scheme. You have to play a lot of small-sided games and just do that repeatedly. You got to be going out after school and pick the pickup game. You got to build this stuff. You look at the Brazilians play; they know where each other are intuitively because they play together so much. They have that understanding
culture.
Of how everything. It comes back to culture,
and it's exactly the reason that our basketball players. I mean,
the good basketball players have this.
Yes, they do.
Exactly, because they know, particularly great teams
that
play, they know what the point guards know, everybody's tendency, they know where everybody wants the ball, they know where everybody should be.
Well, it's court vision, you know?
Well,
everybody always said that was Larry Bird's best skill, was he would, the game was in slow motion for him, right?
Right.
He would know where you were going to be.
That anticipation, understanding, and keep breaking it down. And it's just soccer. What do you say, seventh tier? I mean, that might be harsh, but it's not really harsh.
No.
You know, in terms of what people, you know, want to do. And once again, how many sports have the white middle classes
so
dominated recently? I can't think of many.
Part of the culture, again, just to harp a little bit more on the fans, is
really rough.
We did let these guys come back from Europe, Bradley and Altidore.
Oh.
And Donovan led the way. Donovan, anybody that is, you know, pro-Donovan, listen, you're part of the problem. MLS is this cushy retirement league. And fine, if you're 35, come back. If you're 28 and you're coming back here, you're part of the problem.
Which is what Klinsmann said.
And that's what Klinsmann said. And that's part of what got Klinsmann fired. And these fans who support MLS, who go out there every weekend and basically engage in, you know, European cosplay and do their TIFO and their smoke bombs and don't actually watch the game, don't appreciate the game. They coddle these guys, and that's part of the problem. They need to demand more. Okay, so there's not a soccer culture. There's not a widespread soccer culture. The hardcore fans, we have to demand more.
Russell, it's your fault.
My fault.
Yes.
Actually, you know, Josh is the guy with the podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
Point of Attack.
And how does somebody get that?
It is on SoundCloud.
What's that mean?
SoundCloud.com. It's a website. Just where audio files are placed, and I've been putting them up there, and sometimes I post on my Facebook the links to that, so you can access it there as well.
I said we were just going to talk about this, but I have a couple baseball questions because this is the time of year I get interested in baseball. How big are the Yankees? Are they? Is it just my TV? Are these guys literally giants?
They're giants.
Well, the closer is the guy that pitched for the Cubs last year, Aroldis Chapman. He's, what, 6'8"?
Baton says he's about as tall, if not taller. And then Sanchez and Judge are also about 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah. Judge is the right fielder. He's
280.
He's huge.
I mean, good God. They should have got standing next to his coach. It was like a little kid. So who's going to win today?
I like the Astros.
You like them?
I do. Altuve is one of my favorite players these days. And I don't know what the weather forecast is in Houston, but they'll close the roof.
Yeah.
It'll be loud.
Yeah.
And I think I like their chances.
Josh?
I'm slightly concerned. I don't like the pitching matchup because the Yankees have got CeCe Sabathia going, and he's been huge for them in these playoffs. And for the Yankees, if they get a one-run lead, they got the best bullpen left of any team. They can just go behind those guys. So the Astros are going to have to jump out to a quick lead, I think. And Altuve's been great, but I think he's going to need some help from some of the other guys in his lineup. It's going to be a pretty close game. I'll still take the Astros, but
so
it's a tough matchup.
Astros-Dodgers. Dodgers?
I like the Dodgers a lot.
Who's got the home field?
Dodgers.
Okay, great. All right, Ed, get a mic. We got to go. We're really close to going. So play an appropriate song for us, would you, Matt?
What?
I don't know. This one? See if you...
I was trying to find on YouTube Chris Rock's comments about why black guys don't play hockey.
Right.
Yeah. You know, not only doesn't want to be around white guys with sticks, they want to be around white guys in masks. But the other thing is, it's a sport we have not yet chosen to dominate.
Yeah.
And I think that comment actually is germane to what's been said here. It's a sport that in the United States so far, there's been a lack of will to make that at the level of basketball or baseball, football. So until that happens, it's always going to be the next big thing.
You know, isn't it just like us to save the best for last?
You're welcome.
Well, we didn't. No, I'm only joking. That was really great. You're just sitting there the whole show, just
Tom, some people like to talk a lot, and others of us just like to sit back and listen and soak it in.
Fall
and
asleep. Then distill some people it. Call that sleeping.
Look on their phone.
Look on their phone, get a note. All right, well, who knows when we'll be back on the air. Matt, are you, is this still going on the website? So it's on the website inside STL.com. I don't know, you know, check it out. Big changes here at the station. You got to love them. And we are, man, we've come a long way.
Yeah, we're definitely in the mix, folks. We just don't know what time slot we'll have going forward.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Okay, Edmundo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and ships at sea, once again, this has been the St. Louis United Soccer Show, coming to you live from the mighty studios of KFNS in beautiful downtown Kirkwood, high atop the KFNS Tower. We'll be back again sometime.
Soon come on.
Soon come on. Thomas?
Bye-bye!